Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
All right, all right. That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright. He said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. And, you know, I like to use that and hold on to that here at the Parents Coaching Parents Network as just a little affirmation that our student athletes need to incorporate into their daily lives to make smart cool. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that, folks, being smart. Let our children know there's nothing wrong with being smart. Being smart is an okay thing. Well, good evening, folks. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I promise you another wonderful show this evening. Hopefully we're going to talk about some things that's going to make you want to say, You know, just some things that cause you to think a little bit, some things that just kind of get you energized and get you motivated and think about the overall success of your child as your child continues in this wonderful world of sports, or should I say the sports industry, as I like to kind of put it from time to time, because their involvement in sports, folks, is a big part of their life. You know, if your child started out earlier on in their young days and they were involved in sports and here they are, middle school, high school, going into college, and they're still involved in sports, sports has been a major part of their life. And how they take on that challenge and how they utilize the tools that sports bring to you, it's all part of they reaching their own personal level of success. And I like to stress that point, their own personal level of success. Their level of success is not necessarily the success that we think that they should achieve, but what they achieve individually. What they achieve based upon their motivation, their drive, their dedication, their determination, things that have, you know, just make them be the best that they can possibly be. So, on that note, folks, we're going to talk about some things this evening, and hopefully I have a few clips that I want to share with you. From other little pieces and other sources that we've pulled off the internet. Stuff that's just going to make you think a little bit. Think a little bit. Again, I'm M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Coaching Parents Network, and you'll be with me for the next hour or so here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. You want to call in and share your thoughts, your insight, your ideas, your concerns, or just what's on your mind. You can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. I'm saying that because I expect us to get into some real heavy conversation this evening on this topic that I want to share with you. And in this topic, if you had a chance to read our episode information, it talks about how parents, does your child enjoy playing sports? Are they excited about the game, whether or not they win or they lose? How many sports do your child enjoy playing? Do your child have a favorite sport that he or she prefers? And what are some of the do's and don'ts as a parent of a young athlete? Last but not least, we should remain positive at all times while on the sidelines. You know, because that conversation, that topic has come up in numerous forms and numerous discussions and came up in the media and everything, every which way possible. Just remaining positive, because you had a number of incidents where you had parents getting beside themselves on the sideline. But enough said about that. Again, I'm M.H. Scott, host of the Parents for the Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. And as always, I'm going to promise you another wonderful show. But without further ado, I'm going to go straight into this first clip that I pulled up here. And I'm hoping that I'm not going to have any audio issues. So let me see if I can go into this clip and bang rocking and rolling for you. Because I intentionally pulled this clip off the internet, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it as we go on. Intentionally pulled this clip off the internet with the hope that I could share it with you this evening.
I'm passionate about sports, and I think youth sports has so much that we can give to our kids, all those life lessons. Parents have the best of them. Even when the political is in fight, we all saw that video of the hockey dad who was upset about the rough play on the ice. And with all good intentions, he went down to confront the coach, and it turned out disastrously. Usually when we go berserk on the sidelines as a coach or as a parent, it's all about winning. And yet, if you ask parents to list what they want for their kids, winning doesn't come up high on the list at all. They want them to learn hard work, determination, perseverance, how to deal with defeat. And all of those are learned, win or lose. One of the things I'll do is I'll actually hand out pieces of paper and give my parents and say, hey, just make sure you don't have your own kid's name on this piece of paper. I want you to look at that child today and find two good things he does in today's game. So what I've done is I've given him the role of a coach for a day. Don't try to get into that post-game analysis so quickly. Let's just say he missed the winning play, whistle blows. He plops into the seat next to you on the ride home. What do you say to him? And sometimes we just say, you know what? Say nothing. Just go to Wendy's and get the Frosty, because that's really what they want. Let's say you had to miss a game. How many times have you been on a business trip or whatever, and you missed your game, and you call your little son or daughter and say, hey, Matthew, that's my son's name, how'd you do today? What if Matt had his worst game of the year? You've just put all the pressure on Matt. How did you do today? How about a different question? Hey, Matt, who made a great play on your team today? You've got him talking about his teammates, which is one of our goals, to get him to be team players, all because of just the way I ask the question. It all comes down to what's your goal as a parent. It can't be the college scholarship or winning or the record. If your goal truly is the life lesson, that's going to occur through the good and the bad.
Well, we had our little first clip, and the speaker spoke about some things that many times we as parents don't think about. You know, one of the first things that I heard the speaker say is having a positive coach, having a coach that can really interact with the parents. You know, as she talks about how oftentimes she would give out a piece of paper to the parents and tell the parents to do some evaluation on one of the kids out there other than their child. And that gives them a chance to really see, you know, what the other kids are doing and not being as critical and giving the parents a chance to give them the belief that they are actually out there coaching. You know, and not necessarily having to say anything, just simply doing a simple assessment or an evaluation. That's a great tool to use if you are a parent and you're coaching and you have other parents that you have to interact with. Or your child's parent, using that if you, you know, come across a situation and the coach comes to you in confidence and say, hey, you know, I'm having a hard time getting across to these parents. You know, what's some of the things that you think I can do? Excellent, excellent, excellent opportunity to introduce this concept. Just giving the parent a piece of paper and say, hey, okay, give me an evaluation of what you see out there today. You know, write a couple names on the paper. Let them know who the children are. And just have the parent just, but then at the end, you know, the parent can come with that same constructive criticism, constructive. And I shouldn't even use the word criticism. With that same evaluation and let the child know what he or she think of their performance of the date. And you can do that, and that'll build a very strong a real good team concept if you have a number of parents that have this opportunity. Another thing that they mentioned was, and I've spoke about this several times here on the show, and I want to stress this point again, another thing that they mentioned, not to address the issue of the game, you know, on the way home. Don't jump in the car, and the next thing you know, you're talking about what happened in the game. Excuse me. You know, don't talk about what happened in the game or your evaluation of your child. The child get in the car and ride home, and if he or she really and truly want to have that conversation, then guess what? They'll bring that topic up. They'll bring that conversation up. Not for you to bring it up. Allow them to bring it up. We're talking about playing sports and your child being involved in the game. You know, I just recently just ran this little audio clip that I pulled off of YouTube, and it was from Positive Sports Parents. And I stressed a point earlier on in the intro talking about being a positive sports parent. You know, your sideline decorum. You know, that is so important. You know, I stress that point of it being so important because of the simple fact that you have to remember, you have to remember that you're not only representing yourself, but you're representing your child during the time that you're out there. And your child is out there on the field, and the way that you conduct yourself on the sideline sends a message and sends a signal to all the other children and all the other parents out there who you are and who your child is. You know, you're conducting yourself in a very positive way, talking about sportsmanship and all these other things, and congratulating kids on great plays, to include your own child. At the same time, making sure that you're speaking positive facts, positive motivational things each and every time you have something to say to one of the players out there. Hey, they make a mistake. Okay, hey, no problem. Hey, make up for it. Let's get back. Let's get back on defense. Let's make up for it. Hey, good play. Good play. Let's keep it moving. You know, something like that. Not trying to degrade, belittle, or speak down to anyone. So your sideline decorum and the way you conduct yourself on the sideline is very important, not only to yourself but to your children, to your child as well. But, you know, I started out talking about, just how coaches can utilize that tool of handing out a piece of paper and allowing the parent to interact with the children. And not necessarily interact with the children, but just sit there and take notes and then compare, you know, if that coach had a chance to compare his notes to what that parent wrote down and see how close that that parent is to actually being able to fairly evaluate a child, making sure that that parent doesn't focus on anything that his own, her child did the whole entire time. Well, I have one more clip for you, and hopefully this next clip has some more insight that we can share with you. But check this one out as well. And this one is right along the same lines, right along the same lines. It's a little bit longer in length, so bear with me, folks.
Parents, let's talk about your child in sport. If your child already likes the kind of sport, or not even give sport a try, there are some key things you need to know in order to make sure that your child has a safe and successful sport experience. Getting involved in competitive sport can be a great choice for your child, but we all have to think of the child first and make sure their experience is a quality, not a sport experience. It doesn't matter if your child dreams is to make it through that day, or if it remains active for life. A quality sport experience is crucial to healthy child development. How do we ensure that? It starts with the right coach. You have to find a coach who follows the principles of healthy child development in their practices and games. Here are the high five principles that you have to look for so that your child develops in a healthy way through sport. Principle 1 is the coach, a caring adult. A positive and supportive relationship with an adult helps children develop positive social skills, strong self-esteem, and positive peer interactions. A good coach will make a child feel safe, both physically and emotionally, and will be welcoming to everyone regardless of their diversity and uniqueness. Principle 2, does the coach help the children make friends? Coaches help children think about a bigger world beyond their own neighborhood family. Friends sharing humor, offer support, and provide healthy criticism. Having friends in sport is what makes sport so much fun. Friends in sport can become friends for life. Principle 3, does the coach allow for structured and unstructured play? Speaking of boring, if we have to call it same structured work all the time. Kids learn through play, and a good coach will provide some time and practices to allow the child to shape their own environment, use their imagination, and develop a variety of sports and a specific variety of activities. Just two more principles to go. Principle 4, a good coach needs to create opportunities for mastery, opportunities that make your child feel that they are getting better at something. They do this by making sure your child is contributing at their own skill level and having success. A good coach will make sure the equipment is a proper signage and that the rules aren't too difficult to understand. A good coach makes sure the activity is at the right level so that your child knows they're getting better, even if it's a little bit at a time. The last principle is participation. Fun comes from doing. A good first coach, make sure that your child is participating at their own comfort level. Children need to make choices, have a voice, and do things by and for themselves. A good coach will have activity plans so that your child is moving along, remaining interested, and is totally motivated to be there. But the coach is just one part of a great sport experience. The rest is up to you. You need to know how to identify and avoid being a pushy parent that can sometimes take the fun out of sport, good at child's healthy development, and can even negatively affect the relationship between you and your child. Here are a few tips on how you could avoid some sport parenting pitfalls. Tip number one, focus on what your child is learning instead of winning or losing. Sure, it's much more visual to be interpreted, but if you lose the game, then you feel really bad about themselves. Instead, encourage them to practice for persistence, improvement, and growth reasons. This way, your child will participate in sport because they are having fun and are passionate about the sport. And passion is a great driver for success. Tip number two, talk to your child about managing their emotions around winning and losing. Make every loss a teachable moment and see it as a gift to further their growth instead of a negative event. Ages 6 to 12 are the children who are developing confidence and resilience. By turning a game loss into a teachable moment, you are making sure that they are learning how to deal with setbacks later on in life in a positive way. Tip number three, let the coach, and the referee rest. Let your child see how you respect the rules in sport, no matter how old the leaders are. Your child may be one of those leaders one day. Children tend to model what their parents do, so being a positive role model will help your child develop in a positive and healthier way. And one last thing, don't forget that it's time to start thinking at home. Instead of overscheduling your child's sport, think about how finding a few minutes for some play at home can go a long way. Playing what your child wants to play can be a wonderful family bonding. Even if you're not physically literate at the time, why not give physical activity a sport of those and try to get a little bit better today than yesterday? Playing and moving your body can be fun. It's not just your child who deserves a little more fun. You deserve a little more fun, too. You can learn more about high five and healthy child development in sport and recreation.
Well, again, another great audio clip. And in this audio clip,
all the same things that I just addressed a second, you didn't get a chance to count it down.
I'll recap a few of them. You know, they talked about a positive coach. Well, let me say this part. And this is something that I have been a real stickler for. Since my son first started playing sports. And I say that because I think it's very important, having a positive coach. Now, I recall at once upon a time sharing a story with you where we went on an unofficial visit, and this was during the recruiting process. Went on an unofficial visit. And we had the opportunity to go up to a very prominent university, major program. Program had won a number of national titles. In a very short and sweet way of putting it. When we left that game that day, and after I had an opportunity to observe that coach, I realized I couldn't allow my child to attend that university because that coach's demeanor, character, it really concerned me. Things I heard him say to his assistant coach during the game, I know he would have no problem with saying those very same things to one of his players. And, you know, and that coach was from that era of, you know, hands-on type of coaching style. So, therefore, there would definitely have been a problem and me allowing my child to go to that school. So, as a result, when we got back, you know, in the car and we was heading home and asked my son what he thought about it, I was so very pleased to hear, wow, I didn't realize that I yawned as much, and I apologize for this. Maybe I need to start scheduling my show a little earlier in the evening. But I was so very pleased to hear my son when he said that he wasn't interested in going to that school. It was just something about that school or that program that wasn't too pleasing to him. So having a very positive coach is a huge plus, a huge plus in your child playing sports. And I would say a positive coach, whether or not we're talking about playing at the youth level, recreation level, or school, middle school, high school, or even at the college level. And I think it's still a necessity to ensure that you do have a positive coach. By the time your child, if your child, you know, gets to the point of reaching a professional level, then, you know, he or she will be a little bit more equipped to handle these situations on their own. But even still, they understanding that they only going to or only should allow so much to happen without them saying something about it. So having a positive coach is very, very, very important. You know, oftentimes when children are being recruited, and we're going back to talking about being recruited, when children are being recruited and you have a situation where, you know, the athlete likes a particular school, but we as a parent don't have a very strong feeling for that coach's attitude or that coach presents or gives us the impression that he or she will present somewhat of a problem, you know, in the development of your child. You know, parents, we can sit here and fool ourselves all day long and talk the talk. And I honestly believe that some of us may even believe it and go for it. I've heard parents say, well, you're picking the school, you're not picking the coach. Well, I'm not turning my child over to, and I will hope that many of you would consider the same thing, I'm not turning my child over to someone that I do not feel comfortable with guiding my child for the next 3 or 4 years. Because the level of influence that these coaches have over our children during the time period that they're up there at that institution is great. And that child can easily be persuaded, or mental psyche could be damaged, or a number of things could happen just based upon the interaction that they have with that particular coach. So it is very important, very, 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 very important that you very seriously look at and consider who the coach is going to be over the next few years, and who that is going to be the same coach during the time that your child is attending that institution. Next thing they talked about is helping athletes to grow. And when they talked about helping the athletes to grow, it means, you know, grow to the point of how to develop friends, how to develop a network, how to develop and reach out and interact with other folks. There is an athlete out there, team-based program, because there are some individual programs out there, that can be successful without the rest of the team. So therefore, the athlete, no matter how much of a
huge superstar we want to believe that our children are, if they're not able to reach their teammates and interact with their teammates and build bonds and friendships with their teammates, they're going to have difficulty reaching their own personal level of success. We must help our children grow, and a positive coach may also be a part of that, helping the child to grow and understanding how to bond and become a team player. Next thing, structure. Structure. You have to have a program that the child is involved in that provides some structure. You know, and even when providing that structure, it's not structure all the time. At some point in time, you know, they can change up a little bit. But for the most part, what we're looking at is having some structure, understanding that this is the coach. This is the authority figure for this team. You may have a few team captains. You may have a few other folks that have key positions. You may have a team that, when you go there, the kids know what they're going to do. What's the routine? Not just go there and just there throwing the ball, or there running up and down the field, or there kicking the ball, dribbling the ball up and down the field, or there just with chaos totally going on at every practice. Team has some structure. Look at the team and notice that the coach has structure in his program. And I guarantee you, your child will truly benefit from a situation like that. Next thing that a good coach would do will make sure that your child has the opportunity to master that particular sport. And what I mean by master that particular sport, you know, do things that can help them increase their skill. You know, help them improve their skill level. Not just necessarily just go out there and play, but go out there and increase their skill level. You know, do work on the drills, work on some of the fundamentals, get to the point where you have actually mastered that particular, having that opportunity. And the way that they're able to master that particular sport is being provided with the necessary tools and equipment that will help them get to that point of mastering that sport. The next thing that they talked about was participation and motivation. The coach has to be a motivator. The coach can't be one of them type of people that get out there and scream, yell, you know, just sit on the sideline drinking a cup of coffee and just, no, you have to be actively involved and engaged. If you have the ability to demonstrate by example, you know, have to. Kids have to have the confidence in you that you're going to motivate them to pull off that win, or you're going to motivate them to do their best. And it's not necessarily all about the wins and losses, but to get the best out of them. If you are not truly a motivator, if that coach is not truly a motivator, then guess what? Again, you're going to have a problem or a program that has problems. Well, folks, you know, at this time, I normally step away from the mic for a little bit, and I throw out some commercials and throw some information in there, and just let you hear a little something else other than my voice doing all the talking. So, as usual, I'm going to drop that little piece on you, and we'll be right back here shortly. I think I can get my little conversation up on the NAIA programs. Hold on, let's see what we got here. Hope I don't experience any technical difficulty. see.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and wins 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
All right, we're back. Again, if you want to call in and talk to us this evening and have some questions in reference to what we've been talking about, you can give us a call at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. We were talking about positive coaching experience and having some positive coaches out there to work with our children. And it talks about a number of things that you want to look for when you're looking at positive coaches and when you're looking for a program that has a positive coach. Again, folks, I'm telling you, and I want to stress this point again, this positive coaching issue or concern or understanding should go from whether or not your child is playing at the youth recreational level all the way through to the college level. All the way through to the college level. It's not an optional thing. You should make sure that your child is getting the best out of this situation. You know, then they also have some other tips when they talked about coaches. You know, they also talked about just being able to learn. You know, it should be an ongoing learning process. It's not an optional thing. It should be an ongoing learning process. And if it's not an ongoing learning process, then your child's missing out. Your child is missing out. Really say your child's missing out if it's not an ongoing learning process. Because that's what the whole thing is all about. Learning. Learning valuable things. Not only learning that sport, but learning how to deal with different situations in life. Sports is one of the most valuable tools we have to share with our children and learning some of life's best lessons. You know, over the years, I've learned quite a bit from sports. And I've also been able to teach quite a bit through the use of sports. And I've watched young men learn some very, very serious life lessons through sports. You know, camaraderie, sportsmanship, fellowship, respect, determination, you know, self-motivation. pride, all these different things have been heavily taught through sports. You know, because of the simple fact that sports is such a wonderful tool to teach. Wonderful tool to use to teach. Another thing it talks about is emotion. You know, I've seen young athletes get to the point where literally broke down in tears after, you know, they didn't have a successful game or they lost the game and they broke down in tears. You know, we're talking about young men and young ladies alike. You know, they must understand, hey, you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. Understanding that in every contest, whether or not you win or you lose, you still should benefit something from that contest. Every contest should have a learning experience within the contest. You know, each contest has a teachable moment. Because everything in that contest or in that event is not going to go perfect. And if not going perfect, you have an opportunity to learn from each one of those situations. And continue to learn. So those teachable moments will help hold back on some of those emotional moments and realize that we're going to win some and we're going to lose some. And you understand it to and explain it to the young ladies and the young men. Fellas, today we're going to go out here, we're going to play the game, we're going to play it hard. But in playing the game, whether or not we win or lose it, we still got some things that we still need to work on, still got some things that we're going to perfect even more. But we're going to go out there with the mindset of we're looking for the win, we're working hard to get the win, and if we execute the things that we need to execute, we're going to come out with the win. But if not, we'll understand where our shortfalls came in, and make that correction and be able to still be able to move forward. So make these moments teachable moments. Teachable moments. Another issue that they talked about, another concern that they talked about, is a lot of the coaches to coach parents. Allow the coaches to coach. Allow the referees and the officials to officiate. You can't be all hats out there. You can't play the game through your child, stand on the sideline like you think you're the coach, and make calls from the stage. Parents, pull yourself back. Enjoy the game. Look at every situation as being a great teachable moment. Great teachable moment. Last but not least, parents, we're out there to watch our kids have fun. But not only to watch them have fun, seeing that they're having fun, and ensuring that they're having fun, and in the end, we are having fun. So that's the big part about it. We're having fun just as they are having fun. That's what it's all about, parents. That's what it's all about. You know, I often tell parents during the time that I'm out speaking at various events, I tell parents that that's one of the things that I always stress to my son, even to this day. When I catch him coming out of the tunnel or, you know, back during the time that they were doing the warm-up lines in high school or, you know, he just got out the car and just ran in the gym. And I'm going around to park the car, and the coach met him at the door. If I'm not coaching or whatever, hey, I say the very same thing to him back then that I would say to him now. Have fun, son. Enjoy yourself. Have fun. Do your thing and have fun. But it's all about having fun. And when they get to the point where they're no longer having fun, guess what? It may be time to call it a day. It may be time to call it a day. When they're having fun, we're having fun. And even if you don't think they're having fun, you should try to encourage them to have fun. It's all about having fun playing the game. Well, I got one more little audio clip for you folks. And this song is the last one. But I think it also has some valuable nuggets in it and some things that we could discuss. Again, hey, if you get a chance, call in 917-889-8095. Love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your ideas, your suggestions, your recommendations. Hey, if you want me to shut up and go away, I'll do that too. Just let me know. All right, let's go to this next audio clip and then let's see what we got from that. All right, here we go.
And I'm a fluent banker, so I can't get to go to trainers from third grade for a couple of hours a week. And I would say to parents, let your kids play. Let your kids have some fun. Don't make them just be a baseball, basketball, football player in the third grade. Give them the opportunity to go out and develop their whole being, because when you cut them off from their whole being, and I got a chance to ride in with Coach Lakeville, and we talked about a lot of different things. So it would be great if we could coach at an orphanage sometimes.
Fun. And I would like to say, I hope at every point in time they're having fun. One of the things that really concerned me is, you know, the point of allowing the child to speak for themselves. I agree with that to some degree, but not totally. Because we have to remember, when we're talking about a middle school, high school child, talking about a high school child that's being recruited, 16, 17, 18 years old, having a conversation with a college coach who's trying to put on his best sales pitch, you know, I use this analogy all the time, you know, they're professional salesmen. And I think realistically, they could sell you the dough out of the biscuit without even breaking the crust. And I'm very serious about that. So at some point in time, parents, we need to, if not intervene, we need to just be mindful of the conversation that your child has with this adult. And realize that your child may be easily influenced by, you know, the things that this coach is saying. So at some point in time, you may want to either have an additional conversation with your child or ask the coach for some clarification on something that you him say, especially if you know he's sitting there and he's sharing this information with your child. Ask him for some clarification on it. And force him to give you an adult answer to wherever he just stated. Not just talk around it or bypass it or just, you know, change the subject. No. Give me an answer on what we were just talking about. That's very important. But you notice the whole time this individual that just spoke, just shared a little piece with us, focused on the key piece being having fun. And that's what it's all about. Having fun. Understanding and knowing that your child is having fun during the time that he or she is actually out there playing the game. Playing the game. Having fun. And if they're not having fun, then again, I would say that there's something definitely wrong with that program. Something definitely wrong with that program.
Hey, since I haven't had a whole lot of folks to call in this evening, I'm not sure if it's one of those busy nights and folks are trying to get themselves ready for tomorrow, what's going on. But I always give out the number 978-889-8095. I hope to have some great shows coming up as we move into the summer months. I've lined up some speakers and some additional folks to come in and just share their ideas and their views of what's going on out there in the world of sports as it pertains to our children. You know, oftentimes we miss out on the opportunity to interact with, you know, engage with our children as we, while we're talking about sports, because many times our children believe that, well, mom, well, dad, you don't know. So that's why we're here at the Parents Coach of Parents Network, to inform you, to keep you informed, to make sure that you have that working knowledge of the process of what's going on out here in the sporting industry that has gotten captured our children's attention, and you're able to talk about it with some very serious conversation or some humorous conversation. But you understand what two-a-day means. You understand what, you know, if you're going to get out here and you're going to run some drills, or you get out here and you the child has to learn how to fill the gap, or, you know, all these other things, or your child is looking at a program and they're talking about football and they know what the nickel is, they know what the slot is, they know the holes are, and they know what the 1, 3, 5, 7, they know what them holes are, they know what the 2, 4, 6, 8, you know, all this stuff. You know, if they're playing a nickel defense or you know, all these different things, that terminology that we hear day in and day out, they're familiar with that stuff. And you're familiar with that stuff. And you can talk to your child about it just as easy as you can talk to a coach about it. And if you can do that, trust me, parents, you'll make some big-time points to your student athlete, with your child, as I like to refer to it as, because that's who he or she is. Your child, you'll make some big-time points being able to have that conversation, being able to talk intelligently about some of the things that you see going on out there on the field. And you, again, you don't have to be the initiator of the conversation. You're simply being the person that waiting for that conversation to happen. And once that conversation happens, you capitalize on it. Well, folks, I'm going to prepare to wind down. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network. I'm your host, N.A. Scott. And, you know, although I didn't get any callers this evening, I think I was able to share some more information with you that has been valuable. That's been valuable. On that note, I'm going to say, folks, I hope that you can join us again next week. We'll show up on air again next week. Same time, same channel. We'll be here again at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And I may have a little surprise for you. May have a little surprise. So until then, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. And I think I'm just going to let my man, Mr. Keith Wright, go ahead and take us out with his little piece called The College Experience.
What's going on here?
Whoop, a student of the game. Had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.